The creative process. It's been mythologized and idealized and generated thousands of Instagram quotes along the way. But we're still fascinated by that moment of creation because there's something mysterious about it, something that can't quite be defined. My name is Laurent John, and I'm the studio's coordinator at Somerset House, a working arts center in the center of London. As an organization, we curate large-scale exhibitions, but we're also host to a creative community on site, Somerset House Studios, home to all sorts of creatives, from musicians to visual artists, set designers to filmmakers. What's really great about working here is that you get to witness the whole creative process, from start to finish, and hear the sort of conversations that arise when an idea is just taking shape. The sort of things you don't really hear about once it's hanging in a gallery or mixed on an album. That's what the Somerset House podcast is all about. Going behind the scenes here to tell the stories being told by our program and creative community. And in this first series, we're honing in on the ideas that come out of the middle of the creative process, before it's finished. Each episode, we follow a different artist as they explore one idea that has emerged from a work in progress to see where it ends up. Along the way, they sit down with a cross-section of creative thinkers to help shape what form it might take next. Welcome to The Process. Episode 1, Breaking the Rules.
Here I've got a very tacky red and black catapult that came free with one of the Beanos. It was a little bit disappointing. What else have we got in the box?
I think breaking the rules has to be at the core of the creative process. How can you create something new if you don't try something different? So in this episode of The Process, we go behind the scenes with an artist turned curator, Andy Holden, who curated the exhibition Beano, The Art of Breaking the Rules, as he considers his next move with the performance artist and provocateur, Mark McGowan.
I don't really know what that does.
A quick heads up, there's some strong language in this one.
Small catapult. My normal answer is that my name is Andy Holden, and that much I know. Toy gun. I'm an artist who makes films and animations and installations, and currently I'm wearing a red and black striped curator's hat and doing an exhibition at Somerset House called The Art of Breaking the Rules, which is about the Beano and its influence on art.
Uh-huh.
That's the sound of eyeballs falling out of a pair of fake spectacles. And we're currently, though, in my studio, which is my converted upholstery workshop in suburban Bedford. I thought there was some more fun sonorous. I guess we're just going to have to go for it. I'm going to have to demo the whoopee cushion, aren't I?
Yep.
Would I describe myself as a rule breaker? I mean, I'm not sure you set out to be deliberately rebellious, but on the other hand, I don't have a huge amount of regard for the way things are normally done. I think, yeah, like, I perversely enjoy upending expectation. I think play is important. I mean, and there is something about bending and breaking the rules in play, in the sense that in play the rules are kind of at least tested. You know, you have a structure, but then they can evolve. The Beano, we kind of know, when you say to people, they sort of know what that spirit is, what that is, which is anarchy light and the spirit of kind of anti-education or hating school or hating anyone who's pretentious or stuck up or aligns themselves with the world of adults or power. So my question was kind of, what would be that legacy of that? You know, what does that do?
I saw a good one floating around.
I subscribed to it and was in the fan club, and I would buy it every week and I would draw from it. You know, I'd copy out these characters, and that was like a... So it was a big part, I guess, in my early development of, like, wanting to be an artist, which is what... I wanted to kind of bring to the exhibition, which was this idea that the Beano on comics can be a gateway into art and creativity. Here. This is Calamity James. This would be a Tom Paterson drawing. Always there in British culture, and it taps into a certain British sensibility. I say, Carruthers, isn't that Calamity James, easily the least fortunate youth on the face of the globe? That says a man in the ugly mush spotting club. Then, fast face. A plastic surgery shop. Maybe your luck would change if you had a face change. Sprout. There's always a power dynamic at play in those main characters, whether it's just kids versus adults or normal people versus the unruly maverick characters of the Beano. So the woman who's just gone into fast face is coming out like a very attractive looking lady now. Says, wow, I look 150 years younger. Ragged little jam stained vest streaming with desire. I'll give it a try, says Calamity James. You're told don't do this and be quiet and be home at this time, and you realize all these arbitrary rules start to enter the world, and the Beano goes, oh, but these kind of whispers to you, but these are arbitrary. The adults have made these up. And you start to think, oh, yes, rules are always made by somebody. Cool, a bit expensive for me. He's looking at the prices. Oh, we do have the bargain brunch, so there's some sale items. Assorted broken noses, double chins, cross eyes, buck teeth. Very different from superhero comics, which are about upholding the law and escapism in the sense that these are really fantastical. But no, well, the Beano was offering some kind of weird realism, because it's like it's just kids and adults in like some never-ending battle. Later, well, James did get a new face on the cheap, but I don't think his luck has changed. And we see Calamity James walking down the street with a mishmash of an elephant's trunk, large pig's ears, two big eyes. You get the impression it didn't work out well. I think art means a lot of things to different people and different times. You know, sometimes, you know, for me, I often think about art as a kind of emotional experiment. You know, an experiment isn't necessarily breaking a rule, but it is set to challenge, to find a new set of, like, to test something. Often you're like, if you just go out the way to break the rules, it doesn't always result in good work. But if you go out to test them, then it's funny.
Sadly, he's not a transport planner or a politician. He's a performance artist. So his protest consists of trying to pull a route master 100 yards using just his big toe. Yeah.
Pull the bus, pull the bus, pull the bus, pull the bus, pull the bus.
Finally, to the man who's rolling his way into the record books with an epic 40-mile trip.
Actually, I see myself as a great British adventurer. That's Sir Edmund Hillary and Scott of the Antarctic. Dame Ellen MacArthur.
Mark McGowan.
He started in London this morning.
I'm Mark McGowan, I'm an artist, and my practice has always included performance, public events, pushing onto YouTube videos, but always kind of like trying to be quite naughty or raise awareness about political things, and sometimes commentating on political stuff, which is what I do now.
I've discovered Mark McGowan when I was a student living in New Cross in like the early 2000s, there was like stories would circulate of these artworks or stunts or things that Mark would get up to. Like I remember hearing about him eating a swan.
Now, an artist has risked the wrath of monarchists, not to mention breaking the law, by eating swan, a privilege only legally available to the Queen.
But I first heard about him pushing a peanut with his nose from Goldsmiths to the Houses of Parliament to protest about student tuition fees, and I remember thinking that was terrific.
We mentioned yesterday the story of a student, an art student, who's pushing a monkey nut with his nose all through London to 10 Downing Street.
What I wanted to do was get in the news and reclaim the work.
Mark, why on earth are you doing this?
I'm doing it just to try and show people how difficult it is to start off your career with a £15,000 debt.
We can see some footage of you now actually nosing that nut along.
Tony Blair was Prime Minister. I pushed it to there and handed the nut in. It took me 2 weeks. And during the drought, I turned a tap on and left it running for, I said for a year, but basically I just turned the tap on. It was in the sink in the space.
Surely the responsible thing to do is turn it off. Can I do that? Can I turn it off?
I mean, you can, but there's a notice up there and it says if you find the tap off, you have to turn it back on.
Why? Well, there. Is it still art?
Well, the silence.
That's still art?
Well, I think we'd better turn it back on. Now it's art.
Or, put another way, a complete and utter waste of water. Simon Harris, London Tonight, Peckham.
People were fuming, you know, but it was really, really big. So I crawled on my hands and knees from London to Canterbury, 28 boxes of chocolates tied around my wrists and ankles, a rose between my teeth, and a big sign on my back which said, could you love me? Catapulted two old ladies in a rocket. Yeah, I did this where I said, it's in the show downstairs, where I keyed 47 cars.
Now, next tonight, picture the scene. You're walking out to your car, and as you get closer, you notice a little mark on the side. And then it dawns on you that some vandals dragged a key along it, leaving an ugly scratch on your paintwork that will cost an arm and a leg to have repaired.
Yes, you're not going to be best pleased, are you? But how about if you then found out it was all in the name of art?
Which was pre-internet, so it would absolutely kick off if you said you'd done something like that. But it was, the nature of the thing was, it was to be naughty, it was to get attention, was to get in the media, but lots of it wasn't true.
I just thought I'd do one, but it became compulsive, obsessive, and I ended up scratching about 30.
And it was looking at how I could create narratives using this medium and then showing in spaces like TV footage.
And then I re-encountered him, like, maybe 10 years later as artist taxi driver when I was on Twitter, and I think then I worked out it was the same Mark McGowan.
Front page of the Metro this morning, storm in a sleaze cup. George useless. Tory corruption. It must be a massive, 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 massive fucking teacup.
I'd like to ask Mark about performance as a type of protest. You know, what, whether performance art has the ability to change things. And I'd like to ask him about a text that I know is really dear to him, that's also very dear to me, which is the Klaus Oldenburg's I Am Foreign Art. I feel like that is right at the heart of what I love about art, and it's definitely at the heart of what Mark loves about art, so maybe that's the overlap.
I'm for an art that is political, erotical, mystical, that does something other than sit on its arse in a museum. I'm for an art that grows up, not knowing if it is art at all. An art given the chance of having a starting point of zero. I'm for an art that embroils itself with the everyday crap and still comes out on top.
I'm for an art,
that imitates the human,
tied like pharaohs,
that is comic, if
I'm
necessary,
for an art of water tanks,
or violent,
speeding clouds,
or whatever is necessary. I'm for an art that takes
US
its form from the lines of life itself,
grade A
that twists and extends and accumulates
art,
and spits
yellow
and drips,
ripe art,
and is heavy and coarse
art,
and blunt,
ready to
and
eat
sweet
art,
and stupid,
best for less
as
art,
life itself,
ready to cook art.
I'm for an art of slightly rotten
art,
funeral flowers,
art,
hung bloody rabbits
art,
and wrinkly
ham
yellow
art,
chickens,
pork art,
chicken art, tomato art, banana art, apple art, turkey art, cake art, cookie art. I'm for an art that is combed down, that is hung from each ear, that is laid on the lips and under the eyes, that is shaved from the legs, that is brushed on the teeth, that is fixed on the thighs, that is slipped on the foot, square which becomes blobby.
What does that piece of writing mean to you?
I always use it whenever I was teaching an elective at uni, and I always used to use that because one of my first experiences coming from sort of... I came out of a treatment house and went into uni, and being told that you can do anything that you want. So someone who had sort of like quite a hedonistic sort of like, you know, and then you sort of like, you get clean and you're there, and they say, no, you can do whatever you want. That's Klaus Oldenburg. And that's what I tried to tell the students. Look, it's like a rising dog shit. This is a piece of art that you see on the pavement, you know, 7-Up art. What's he talking about? He just keeps going and says everything is art, but he uses such brilliant sort of like sentences, and it means everything. It is everything that you are allowed to create and you know, be whatever you want to be. I couldn't believe it.
I'd say, I mean, I guess it's the ultimate text that tells you there are no rules, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it says like, no, if you see it as art, if you want it to be art, then go for it. And it's like the ultimate motivational speech for artists, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like the equivalent, you should play it on a loop when you get up in the mornings and salute yourself in the mirror before you go out of the house or something.
That's what Klaus Oldenburg kind of represents. anything is possible, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if you can imagine it, you can, yeah, then... And I met him once and interviewed him for a radio show, and he hardly said anything, but he sat there and drew the microphone in front of me. And that's what it, and I was just watching him just draw this, and I was like, oh, you can't stop, can you?
And what you said there, if you can imagine it, if you can imagine it, it's real.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If you can imagine it, it's real. Like, the real is of no significance to us whatsoever. None of us, the human race. We live in a state of continual and perpetual fantasy.
Yeah.
That's Beano, isn't it?
Well, this brings us a little bit onto your work, and like the idea that if you can imagine it, it becomes real is a lot of what you did with your work, right? I mean, so I first encountered your work when I was living in South London in the early 2000s, and then you'd see these things in the paper, or I would say, artist eats small corgi dog, artist pushes peanut with nose to Houses of Parliament, artist eats swan, artist keys cars, and be like, it didn't matter. That's all you knew, but it seemed real. Like the story was strong enough. And so you're like, oh, the artist did. You don't even question whether you did it or what happened. It like it had a reality. And that's what you, I think, worked out, that if you put a story like that in the media, it has an automatic reality, which is actually quite prescient in like the world we live in now with like fake news in a way.
Yeah, that's it. What they're doing now in the government. You know, Dominic Cummings said it. You know, if you say the opposite to what's actually happening, that's real. It's really bizarre as well. Because you have this power with words, and I wrote all those headlines. So when it was, I wrote, like, the title of the piece was Artist Eats a Small Corgi Dog, because I thought that's what the headline would be. So when I send it to the newspapers, they're already like, they got it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So the story existed before you'd even done it. The story was already real.
So narrative exists before, during and after the event. So the narrative that you say before the event, any announcements, any things, like what you said, can be visualised. And that narrative can, like, even if they don't see it happen, they'll remember that years later. Remember that guy? And the narrative that exists during the event, sometimes fucking ridiculous, do you know what I mean? Because you've got, like, alcoholics, children, and you're crawling along, builders, do you know what I mean? Your worst nightmare for... So like social interaction when you're doing something really stupid. But quite often to witness it live, the actual performance, it's quite boring for a lot of people, like especially performance art. It's in a different language, do you know what I mean? People don't understand and get scared.
That's art. Oh, that's funny, you know, because it don't look like art to me.
What's it look like to you?
Just rolling on the floor for no reason.
And he's not just been in the same cap as me, has he?
Art? You call it art, rolling on the floor?
I think in that case, really.
And then the narrative that exists after the event, wow. I mean, you can say anything. You can construct it. You can embellish it. You can write about it. You know, you can make it legend. So that's from Peggy Phelan. So she wrote this book called Unmarked, and she's a performance theorist. And she says, the power of performance lies in it not really being there.
Do we want to go to the Strand?
Yeah.
We're on the Strand. What are you talking about, you idiot?
Just going past number 10 Downing Street. We know all sorts of naughty trouble. Breaking the rules. They're in Parliament today to try and get one of their mates off. Parliament Square, we're in Parliament Square now. There was so much action around here before. You know, one time I came down here and I said that I was going to set myself on fire, like a self-immolation in a protest against the Iraq war. So I came down the night before, told some press. They came down, took pictures of me. I was standing there, right there on that green, right there, holding a green petrol can. And they were taking pictures of me. But when we got down here, there was like 200 police. 50, they all had fire extinguishers. And there was a crowd. You've never seen anything like it. I swear to God, I asked Andy, there was 500 people down here waiting for someone to set themselves on fire. And I remember on the night before, they said to me, how are you going to do it? And I said, well, I've been doing a bit of training, and I'm going to have, like, someone that's got an assistant, who's going to have a thing with an extremely long wick.
I mean, you position your artworks quite a lot of times as an act of protest of some sort. You know, they're against if you left the tap on for a year to protest the waste of water. And I was trying to think, you know, do you think performance has the ability to change things politically?
Really mad, isn't that? Because I was saying this like a little while ago about on the internet, on the Twitter and on the Facebook, when the Extinction Rebellion was out 2 years ago, and it was down in Trafalgar Square, you had this massive group of them doing this kind of shamanic, yogi, free, you know, all in outfits round Trafalgar Square. It got like 6.3 million and everyone's going, oh my God. It has a different language. It's live performance. It's like dance. You go to a dance event or a performative thing, you do that in the street, people get confused because they're like linear things, you know what I mean? Start and finish, like you read the book and that's it. These people are out there, you don't even know what are they doing? What are they doing? Look at them. They were screaming, howling, like billion kind of like faces with like tears dripping out their eyes.
I thought it was brilliant, but...
public reaction, that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's about cultural consciousness though, isn't it? Like the language is seeping in, like you change the narrative. That's what good image making of protest can do. It just slightly changes the image.
Oh my God. What about the... That's something to talk about, breaking the rules.
Yeah.
Insulate Britain.
Yeah.
I mean, that's serious, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
They're stopping all the traffic and they're going out. Talk about that is really naughty. Because people are, like, fuming, aren't they?
Right.
Did you see that? They came along and inked them.
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, it was really awful. Despicable. Some guy just walked along and elderly people just inked them all. Proper blue ink all across their faces.
Yikes.
I looked at him and I went, Dennis the Menace. I was like, where's Nasha? All those other, what? Everyone's trying to break the rules, aren't they?
Yeah. That's what made it most complicated doing this show, because I think there's an easy way of romanticising. Because also I was making the Beano show at the time of coronavirus, you know, and so, like, I don't think I've ever thought about rules so much in my life, because every week it was like a new press conference, like rule of six, 2 meter rule of the mask. So we had this kind of constant rollout of rules, and then we had this whole new discourse around following the rules for the greater good, which sounded like felt great for a while. And then you had people who were breaking the rules were then seen as kind of villains, and I was like, but often I'd seen people, like we're talking about with art, breaking the rules as kind of that being a kind of, I don't know, normal associated with the avant-garde or the left. But now there was this kind of reversal going on where everyone on the left's going, I follow the rules, wear a mask. And everyone on the fringe right are going, the rules. So it was a really confusing time to be thinking about Beano and like the message of like who... But the thing is, I come down to it, it's not about whether you break the rules, it's about who makes the rules.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think for art to be political, like it should break existing rules or taboos?
I mean, now it's different with the internet because you can get really hammered. You know, if I did Key in the Cars now, I'd be slaughtered from all sides. It's difficult because you have to put yourself at risk. Loads of times I was at risk.
So do you think art's more about risk than it is about breaking the rules? Something has to be risked. Something personally has to be, like, offered up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I do this thing in... it's one of the sessions I do at uni. Because it's called Deep Play, Dark Play, and I dislike Portuguese guy, and we had this gig in a pub. He came in naked. He came out of the gents' toilet, so there's all people, like builders in the yellow jackets and different people, and he came out naked, like, and he had a TV and thing, and he got on top of the table, and the camera was pointed up his bum. And then he sits on the edge, and everyone's just going, oh, fucking, what the fucking hell's this pub turned into? So he's got this massive jar, and it's like, it's honey. And he put it over his shoulder and let it drip. And he put it over his shoulder there. And it all just dripped down his back, all the honey. And he got this pillow and pulled the pillow open and shook all the feathers out, little tiny white feathers. Fuck, it went everywhere. All in the air, in the pub, in the beer, behind the counter. You know, it was just like a feather bomb thing. And he just slowly got off the table and turned and he was like an angel. Because he hadn't got the honey down the middle bit. They were like two wings. Your starting point shouldn't be material. Your starting point should be, every time, I'm going to make something absolutely extraordinary. And when people see it, they're going to laugh, they're going to cry, they're going to fall over. You've got to pick them up. But I'm going to make something, because I know when I see something that I really like, how I feel. How can you do that? How can I do that? It's a good thing to tell students as well. It's a good thing for yourself.
To tell anybody. I feel like I'm having the best crit of my life right now. I'm feeling so motivated.
Now we're coming up to Whitehall, and I did a protest around here. You know, they actually banned protest back in, 2004? They banned protests in a two-month... They made an exclusion zone, and I came down, and I did a protest, and I had a T-shirt on. And on the T-shirt, do you know what it said? This is not a protest. So when I was there, and all the police were coming out, what are you doing? I said, read my T-shirt. And I was walking backwards, and they kept walking with me. And why are you walking backwards? Because you're going to cause an... Are you actually doing a protest? Because if you are, under Section 48, we can arrest you. I said, well, it's going to look stupid arresting someone that says this is not a protest.
Heather Phillipson's sculpture.
Oh, yeah. That's in the
Beano show.
Well.
Yeah. It's looking good.
Thank you.
Oh, Mark, thank you so much.
Okay, guys.
See you, Mark. Oh, I could listen to Mark speak all day. He's a great storyteller, so you get... which is how the work worked in the first place, that he could had a knack for... creating images. I mean, when he was talking about just making something extraordinary, it's like having just done the Beano show, like you have him back, like staring at a blank piece of paper again. To have that as a sentence going around your head, you know, try and make something extraordinary, is a good way of easing the anxiety of having to start fresh. I mean, that's what you want to do, but it's easy to forget.
I'm for an artist who vanishes, turning up in a white cap, painting signs or hallways. I'm for an art of slightly rotten funeral flowers, hung bloody rabbits and wrinkly yellow chickens, bass drums and tambourines and plastic phonographs. I'm for an art that takes its form from the lines of life itself, that twists and extends and accumulates and spits and drips, and is heavy and coarse and blunt and sweet and stupid as life itself. I'm for cool art, 7-Up art, Pepsi art, Sunshine art, 39 Cents art, 15 Cents art, Vatrinol art, Drop Bomb art, Vam art, Methanol art, L&M art, X-Lax art, Veneta art, Heaven Hill art, Pamerol art, Sanamed art, RX art, 9.99 art, Now art, New art,
Thanks to Andy Holden and Mark McGowan. This series of The Process is produced by Alana Chance, presented by me, Laurent John, and exec produced by Eleanor Scott for Somerset House. The music is by Carr Beard and Harry Murdoch, with special thanks to Equinox for the use of their track in this episode. Next episode, we'll be delving into the world of financial astrology. Yes, that is a thing. With another artist in residence here, Gary Zexizang.